Our appointed scripture for this day comes from Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 51st verse. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for Jesus to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elisha did?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. He rebuked them and he said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And then they went to another village. And now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to Jesus, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied and said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then Jesus said to another person, "Follow me." And he responded by saying, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God." And then another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid those in my house farewell." And Jesus said to him, No one, having his hand to the plow, can, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, come with us, we pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is an important day when we come into God's presence. It's an important day because it is a time of going forward, not looking back, but going forward. The change of pastors is a very unusual kind of time because it is a letting go and saying goodbye, but it's also preparing ourselves for yet another to come. It's a time of mixed emotions because those who have made connections with the pastor's family feel all kinds of ways. They Sometimes they feel relieved, sometimes they feel upset, sometimes they feel broken. I can honestly say that when I've moved from place to place, it's always been some of the most painful and joyful times in our family's life. Because we had to pull together, because in most cases, it meant breaking some ties and relationships that we hold very important. And so, it's always a question in the midst of that changing time when a pastor's family often will be thinking, wow, why would I ever want to trade the people I know for some who I don't know? And also for the congregations, those who've had a special connection to a pastor, they feel similarly, oh, we got to break in a new person again. And the whole sense of how can we do this, because it is a time which is difficult. That's if all things are great, but as we know, all times, there's always a mixed time of changes. One of the times I tell this story because it's kind of indicative of your mixed emotions. One of the times we were moving from place to place, Narda and I have always decided that we were going to leave places better than we found them. And so we were in the process of cleaning up everything in the house, the floors to be waxed and all the bathrooms to be cared for and all those kinds of things. And so we left those last things, and the truck had moved, and we said our goodbyes to most of the people that we were able to say personally goodbye to. And we're finishing up, and I had left the shower to be done, the last thing, because I needed a shower. You know what it's like? You need a shower. And lo and behold, one of the most dear and loving supporters of us in that congregation came to do a last check over the house and made sure it was in good shape. She should have known it was going to be in good shape, but she came as a dutiful servant to do that. And she went upstairs into the bathroom and removed the shower curtain. Now, I had a tremendous ministry at that particular church. But I left feeling unclean. And you know, it was something that made me mad. I was upset about that. And I thought, you know, I was going to take that shower curtain down, and we had a new one to replace it with. But I didn't say anything. I just seethed for a couple of days. And Narda, my wife, she said to me, and about the second day, okay, now, that's enough. Knock it off. But you see, that experience in that moment obliterated 8 years of ministry because I didn't get my shower. In the midst of transitions, there's things that happen, the things that get missed, that makes it difficult to go forward until you set those things aside. And that's sometimes the case. Because you as a congregation must get ready to receive a new pastor, male or female. You must get ready to receive that pastor with as much love and concern and care for them as is possible. It's important because the first day of their ministry in your midst is very critical, because they're feeling some sense, why did I trade those other folks for these folks that I don't know, and they hardly know I'm here? It's going forward. And so when pastors leave, they move forward thankful and in faith that it's okay, going to be okay, that God will be with us. And I tell you, you know, on every occasion we came to that feeling and understanding that God went with us wherever we were. Even when I did the interim here, and at that point Pastor Tom was ill, and I had talked to the superintendent, and he said to me, I said to him, first of all, I'd be willing to come and do a short interim, which I meant by 6 weeks or 2 months, those kind of things. And lo and behold, the superintendent called me. He says, how about 9 months? Well, that wasn't quite what I had in mind, but we came and moved forward in faith, and God blessed us with our time with you. And so this particular passage in the scriptures of Luke, he's telling the story. Jesus is really beginning his ministry, and one of the things that happened, it tells it, he set his face towards Jerusalem, which means to say he understood that this was not going to be an easy task. It was going to be tough. It was going to call something from him and maybe would even cost him his life. And so when I looked at this passage, I thought about it, and I'm thinking about it, it's like Jesus put his game face on, you know, preparing for the impending kinds of challenges that he would face. Kind of like kids or youth groups or sports teams putting their game face on before they go into the contest. The mission team, they put on their game face, you know, ready to go in the midst of that. Want to go forward. And so that's what Jesus did. And interestingly enough, when he sent a couple of persons to go and prepare the way, they went into this Samaritan's town and area. And what happened was the Samaritan didn't really want to see him. They had a religious bind. They were difference of opinion about Jews and Samaritans, even though Samaritans were part of the Jewish group as a whole. But they were perceived as being not faithful to the cause. And so when they saw Jesus and his face, they knew, this man's going to ask something of us that we're not willing to do. And so they basically rejected him. But he'd been rejected before. He'd been rejected at Nazareth by his own people when he stood up to read, you remember. And basically they chased him out. They chased him out. And so this wasn't new, but it was something that happened. And so James and John, the sons of thunder, said to him, Jesus, do you want us to rain down fire on these people? And Jesus said, you don't understand what the kingdom of God is about. You don't understand. I came not to find them guilty, not to blame them, not to hurt them, but I came to show them the love of God. And that wasn't really what they were hoping to hear. What they were hoping to say was, yes, let's crush them and let's set up the kingdom and we'll sit on either side of you, Jesus. And we'll rule. We'll rule. Jesus said, no. You don't really know what this is all about. And then, you know, someone says, well, I'll follow you wherever you go, except I can't do it on Monday, Tuesday, or Thursdays. And, I'll follow you when I can. Kind of a half commitment, not really today thing. And Jesus is saying, no. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to be in 100%. You're going to have to be prepared to discipline your life in all that you do. You're going to have to follow me. He doesn't say it, but he implies you're going to have to follow me even to the cross. You can understand why the Samaritans weren't a part of that. We don't do that. Or sometimes in the midst of receiving a new pastor, the congregation kind of sits back. And they kind of sit back and they say, well, let's see what this guy is able to do. I'm going to be non-committed right now. I'm not going to do much. I'm going to wait. I'm going to listen. Jesus said, no. You got to be all in. You got to be all in. So in the midst of that, you see, they ask questions. Can I bury my father? Jesus says, no. Can I look over my shoulder while I'm plowing? And Jesus says, no. You know, that's really why old pastors really can't come back to minister to congregations, because they need to keep their eye on the future. They need to go forward. And so, even though sometimes we have a desire personally to call a pastor back, you know, that's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. I have a friend, we have a number of friends who, pastors who don't seem to have learned that. And on occasions when the timing is right, I've said to those guys, and they're all men, you need to leave that congregation alone and let the church find their ministry together with the new pastor. That's not your church anymore. Most of them don't like me telling them that, because they know I'm right about that. You don't go back. You have to go forward. And really, it's important to understand that you can't do it halfway. Experience that I've had in our lives in ministry. One time we had this gal and her husband who were very outgoing, very caring, supposedly, and they decided to become foster parents. And so they took this little infant. At this point, it was really an orphan, to say the words. And we happened to encounter them on one occasion. And she had this little baby, which was less than 2 months old. And she was talking of it. And she said, "You're an ugly little baby." And she went on and on and talked about that baby being ugly and not loved and all those kinds of things. She was not committed to being a foster mother. You can't be it halfway. You've got to love that child. At that point, my mother had been suffering from strokes, and she wasn't all able to express herself in all ways. And when we left there, she told our family, she said, "Don't you ever, ever, ever do that to a child. You don't ever do that. You cannot be half committed. Think you're doing something nice for somebody and then denigrating them in the midst of things." That's what it is to be commissioned. That's what it is to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We can't do it halfway. We must go forward. So in the midst of our world, which I think is torn up these days, it's broken, it's mean, it's I'm ugly, and it's not kind. And we, as the followers of Jesus Christ, must remember that our commitment can't be half-time, part-time, in the midst of all things. In the midst of the meanness and ugliness of our world, it takes those who follow Jesus Christ to be kind. Be kind anyways. If you see that out there in the world that there's someone being unfair, and even maybe we find ourselves being unfair, Christ calls us to be fair anyways, in spite of that unfairness. And we see people who are holding grudges and want to do mean things to other people, we need to release them from any grudges. We see a world, and even a political world these days, that is saying hateful and mean stuff which never should touch our lips, and doing things that are inappropriate in our nation's history. In the midst of the hate, Jesus says, we must love anyways, even if it leads to the cross. And in the midst of the world's unfaithfulness, unbrokenness, we need to lift the faith, to live it, to walk with it, and make a difference in the corner of the world where we stand. So be it with you, with me, with all our transitions. May God be with us. May God be with you. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for your grace, for it covers us in so many ways. We sing the hymns, "Just As I Am," and we know that you receive us as we are. And we know that amazing grace that saves a person like us. When originally he wrote that hymn, "Amazing grace that saves a worm like me." Oh Lord, we are bathing in the grace which you provide. So help us to be like our Christ, following him with our game face and the willingness to love the world, even when it's not lovable. This we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen.